Okay, we'll call the meeting back to order. And the next item on the agenda.
Can I open with that?
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Oops, easy.
Excuse me.
Not a problem. I would like to make a motion to reconsider amendment number 9 on ordinance 18-18.
Excuse me. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, motion's been made to reconsider item 9 on 2018-18. And seconded by Member Walhooter. Motion was made by Member Stanberger. Excuse me, that we have something stuck in my throat, so I might have to take another break. But
got some water there?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
So, discussion. You made the maker of the motion gets the first chance.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and thank you, Member Walhooter, for a second. It was my own doing that I was late for that, so thank you for taking it back up. I understand the staff recommendation of no, of fear of connexes or industrial growing operations on borough lots, but I don't really see that as a, I just can't see, I can't see that happening. I see the upside as being much more significant than that in the down. Letters have been written from Mary Coppice, Bo and Maria out at Farragut Farms, and I wanted to say on the record that I was for it and encourage members to vote that direction also, because I don't see the fear of this turning into an industrial garden community. That's my two cents, so I'll be voting for that.
Any other discussion on the reconsideration on topic of Amendment 9, Member Walhooter?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, I mean, I know when this first came up, I must have been asleep at the wheel, because it went by me and I just went, I don't think I was going to say something about that. I should have made a motion. But, you know, I think there's people now that have small gardens, you know, in their yards and things like that, and I know they're sharing vegetables with other people. I get potatoes from certain people that have gardens. And I think this would be a good idea, you know, for some of those people that have a little excess of crops like they usually sometimes do, you know, that they would have an outlet for them and make a little bit of money on it. So I think I'm in favor of this, too. And I think if it looks like it gets a little out of hand, then I think we can rein it in a little bit with another amendment. So I'll be voting yes.
Member Norheim?
So I guess my understanding of this is that you can, if we allow this, then you can buy a piece of residential property and not have a house on it and just turn it into a garden instead?
Less than 10,000 square feet of a lot. So that's a 100 by 100 lot or whatever the size would be. That would be 20 by 50, just for example, of a lot. Is that correct? Liz, that you could buy a residential lot and not build a home on it, just put a garden on it?
Correct. And the planting area would be less than 10,000 square feet, so 100 by 100 lot.
Planted area.
So you could use all of it basically for planting or containers, or, you know, you could cover it, the entire lot.
But you could only plant on less than 10,000 square feet.
Yeah, but that's an entire 100 by 100 lot, yeah. But planting could be like you're putting containers down, is, you know, when I mentioned in here that you could just do a bunch of connexes as your 10,000 square feet.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah.
Member Lynn?
Could I then put in a greenhouse and put a hydroponic garden on it without building a house?
Yep. If I may. Just
yes, maybe. But
so, I mean, it's in theory. I have no problem with it. I think the scale is probably a bit much for residential, and that's really why the oppose stamp is on there. I think if we wanted to allow commercial food production in residential areas, I would recommend that maybe going back to talking to Farragut and Mary and maybe figuring out if we could scale it down a little bit and put in a few more parameters. When this was drawn up, this market garden, it really was established to allow it in commercial area, because the way our code is written, it would only be allowed in industrial. And they asked, could we do it in commercial? And the Planning Commission amended it and allowed it to be in commercial. But then you're going from what was established for industrial and then set up for commercial, and now you're extending it into residential, I think that kind of use is pretty intensive, or could be really intensive for a residential neighborhood. So that's my only concern. And once you open the gate on that, you can ratchet it down, but what's already out the gate is already out the gate. You can't take that back. As you know, we have really good grandfathering in our code. So whatever people do, you know, that we can't undo that. So if you're interested in pursuing this, and I don't really, I agree, I think it's a cool idea, I think we could do it. I'm just concerned about extending into residential something that was specifically created to only go into really commercial. And if you gave us a chance to spend a little more time, maybe we could craft something that would be more appropriate for residential.
Member Norheim, you had your hand up?
So I guess a concern would be, I hear and I see that it's not cheap to live here, like house prices, all that is very expensive. So if we do end up having some cheap property coming up for sale, all of a sudden you're not competing with people to purchase that land for your house. Maybe somebody wants to start up a market garden there, and now instead of being able to just buy the property to put your small house on, you're now competing with a farm who wants to put a garden there instead. And now you're out of house because, well, they wanted a garden.
Okay, is there a
thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Hey, Liz, so I went backwards. What if we ratchet it down now as an amendment, and then we could look at bringing it up? So what if we made a proposal of, say 2,500 square feet, an amendment, you know, to 2,500 square feet, and let's just see how it rides? Because I think there's already a garden in my neighborhood there. It's pretty close to that size, and I'm not sure if they're selling in the gardens, in the market, you know, but it doesn't seem to be, you know, intrusive in my sight or anything. It's kind of lovely to see the sunflowers above the fence, you know, when I go by. So anyway, so that's going to be my thought.
Hey, remember Stanton Gregory? Have another comment?
Yeah, something for Director Cabrera. Like, I echo that concern in theory of the somebody buys this lot for commercial garden use, but commercial gardening is not highly profitable. Now, can I just speak to what Member Norheim brought up? Like, and please, Director Cabrera, call me out if I'm speaking inaccurately here, because I feel like I'm being a bit dramatic. But I have a really hard time envisioning someone buying this lot in Petersburg to like just grow vegetables on it and expect that they're going to turn some major profit and pay off their lot and make money. Something that I think could make sense is, like, say, okay, I own two lots, and this would be a fun side project for me, and turning one of those into that and proceeding accordingly. It just seems, with respect, it seems like a bit of a reach that somebody would make that their financial investment. If you care to respond, feel free. That's just kind of my line of thinking on it.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you, but that's not what you're setting up. If you want to set up the scenario that you're talking about, which is, I have a couple of lots and I have a house and I want to sell, grow some food and sell it, then that's very different than what you're creating under this. Because what you're creating under this is a primary use of food production. So I agree. If someone wants to, have a 1,000, 2,000 square foot garden next to their house and sell at the market, I think that's great. And I would love to work something up like that to put into this, but that's not what this does. And it's a different deal and a little bit more complex.
Kind of.
But you're not creating what you think you're creating here. You're not creating that little house with the little garden next to it.
Oh, I think maybe you misunderstand me, Director Cabrera, that 100 by 100 lots, let's say, joined to my own, cool, that could be increasing food security by the idea of growing enough vegetables to sell to the store or whatever, like beyond even market level of that. I mean, I feel like I'm pretty, I understand what it's saying, but the extreme end of that as far as having Connexes lining lots in towns, as I've already said, it seems like a bit of a reach, but I'm good.
Okay, so any other discussion on this reconsideration? And this, we're just reconsidering item amendment number 9.
Can I, one more statement, Mr. Mayor?
Okay, Member Walter.
Get one more comment to Liz. Hey, Liz, would this be more palatable if we were to change it to 2,500 square feet for the sake of an argument right now?
Well, the other part of it is it does allow for on-site sales, so twice a week for a few hours. So basically, you know, if your street filled up with cars twice a week, I mean, that's up to you guys.
Okay,
if you want to have that traffic. My experience with dealing with commercial uses in residential areas, it could be problematic. And then we have a hard time pulling back on something that we've given. So I would rather craft it correctly the first time out than have to deal with the repercussions and people being really upset because suddenly there's a commercial operation next door to them, and that's not what they signed up for when they bought the house. So that's my only concern, is when we start hitting that residential area. And anyway, I'll leave it at that.
Okay. So, and like we've talked earlier, this is, you know, could be up for change in the future, right? They could make a proposal to planning and zoning and go through planning and zoning to, you know, change this to maybe be more palatable or whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, is there any other discussion on the amendment, the revisiting it, lack of the right word? Okay.
Reconsideration.
Clerk, call the roll.
Jay?
Yes.
Kurt?
No.
Mark?
No.
Taylor?
No.
Jeff?
Yes.
Randy?
No.
Bob?
No.
Okay, the reconsideration for item 9 failed with a 5-2 vote, and I would encourage the people that brought this forward, if they feel strongly about it, to try to bring it up and we'll revisit it. Okay, so we're on to ordinance for the second reading. The ordinance, make sure I'm not skipping anything here. Ordinance 2018-20, an ordinance amending section 3.08.120C of the Municipal Code entitled Assembly Meetings Agenda to add the Pledge of Allegiance to the agenda and to change the agenda title of Visitors' Views to Persons to be Heard. I'll entertain a motion to adopt this ordinance in its second reading.
So, second.
Motion been made by Member Morrell, seconded by Member Wallhuter. Is there any discussion on ordinance 2018-20? Clerk, call the roll.
Mark?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Taylor?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Randy?
Yes.
Okay, ordinance 2018-20 passes unanimously in its second reading. It'll be the final reading at the next meeting. The next item under what's that?
Unfinished business.
Unfinished business, yeah. I didn't see that. Oh, there it is, way up there. Unfinished business is 18-408, proposed land trade with Petro Marine. So I'd entertain a motion to approve this land trade, since we have to make a motion in the positive.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion been made by Member Bucci, I believe, seconded by Member Wallhuter. Discussion. Maker of the motion technically has the first right to speak, but I'm the one that asked to have this on the agenda. But I think we need to reconsider what we action we took at the last meeting. There's some new information that has come out. One is the assessment of the roof condition, which doesn't add much of a monetary value to it, which is $3,000, which is what the person estimated it would cost. But we also received an estimate, just, you know, without any design work, but an estimate from P&D Engineering, and their unofficial estimate is around $400,000 for the Dolphin now. So that's a substantially larger number than the last figure that we were throwing around in this equation. So any other discussion? Member Stan Greger.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I was going to clarify. So what is the motion what is the motion for exactly?
Actually, I would hope, you know, it would actually take a motion to rescind our former motion if we were to change our direction to the manager to negotiate.
Sorry, just to clarify, that's what's on the floor right now, a motion to rescind.
No, that isn't.
I'm a little confused here, if we could clarify what we're doing.
Well, that's why we talked to the clerk about this today, and maybe that should have been part of the narrative here, what we were trying to do. But I want, that would be my, would like to see some more discussion on this and possibly a motion to rescind this, which either someone that was in the, on the yes side or the no side of the last vote can do that on a motion to rescind.
So what's on the table right now? Sorry, Mr. Mayor, can you clarify what's the current motion, just so I know where I'm at?
The motion is to move forward with the land trade, just to get along as discussion. And that's what I put in the dollar figures here that we've have come into the equation.
May I clarify? I'm sorry.
Debbie, can you clarify it any further than that from our discussions?
And can I give you some direction on what I'm looking for?
Yes.
This seems like a loaded question in a lot of ways, and I'm struggling with it, so bear with me.
Yes.
So a motion to continue negotiations means like a loaded thing, so we're already doing that.
Correct.
So the motion doesn't make any sense for what we're currently doing. Are you following me so far?
I am. I think that the original motion right out of the gate should have been to rescind rather than to move forward, because we're already moving forward.
It's like a double negative kind of thing.
Can we make a, I guess you can make a motion to rescind. It's not in the positive. I was always under the assumption that you had to make the motion had to be made in the positive.
Well,
so this
how
is
in the world would you ever rescind anything?
I
see what you're saying. We could say, I'm not sure that it really matters that much one way or the other. We could continue in the way we're going, the motion being made to continue the negotiations. Then if someone wants to make a motion to rescind, we'll vote on that. I would think that the original motion would need to be withdrawn then. Does that make sense?
That's why I could see Member Stanton Gregor's confusion.
Yes.
Any other Thank input you. On this?
No, I'll hold back for now.
Right.
Member Norheim. So what was the original estimated cost of this dolphin? I'm not seeing it.
I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, was around the $200,000 value.
So it's estimate. Doubled.
Is that correct, manager? Dollar Master's not here.
Correct. We had estimates, but they're about 8 years old,
right,
that, you know, threw out a number around $200,000 to build the dolphin. And then we asked, P&D, Glow asked P&D if they could do kind of a back of the envelope write-up, and they provided the information that I sent out to all of you.
So, is there any other discussion? Well, go ahead, Member Stanton Gregor.
Thank you. Now that I've got my clarifiers from the parliamentary end of things, in that case, I'm a bit confused. So 2 weeks ago, we gave the manager direction to negotiate this land swap. And as we all thoroughly discussed, it's a negotiation. It's going to go where it's going to go. So find the roof, the dolphin, that's part of the negotiations, and maybe anybody call me out if I'm thinking about this backwards, but we've empowered our manager to negotiate this land swap. Whether it succeeds or fails is irrelevant at this point. My vision of a negotiation is you going and negotiating, $400,000 is a big number. You, sir, your job is to negotiate that with Petro as far as, okay, suddenly 120 doesn't, meaning I find myself a little frustrated that we're discussing it again a week later, because, again, my vision of negotiation is, you go work through that stuff like we've told you to do and come back with, here's the best we could get on the negotiations. What do you think now? I don't want to be a micromanager of you every 2 weeks, every step along the way, saying, hey, this detail came up, Steve. That's your job. You have to weed through those things. So I guess, obviously, I'm voting yes if it stays the way it is, because do your job. And I mean that with all respect to you, Mr. Manager. That's what you do, and I expect you to continue doing so until you come to a place where you've reached the end of negotiations and you're like, here's the best we've got. And then we as a whole get together and decide, as we already discussed. I mean, I don't feel like I'm missing there. And that's... Go ahead.
Got your point. Any other discussion? My point for wanting to bring this back up was because of the new dollars associated with this moving forward. And I understand we did give the manager direction to negotiate with Petro, and the next step in that negotiation would be spending money on appraisals, I'm assuming. So before we started going down the road where more money was spent, in my mind, making it a more expensive proposition, I thought I would bring it, put it back on the agenda. And I don't feel that that's out of line when we're talking about, lost revenue and spending taxpayers' money. If there's new information that comes up on the topic that we as an assembly discuss it. So that's why I was on here. If we don't get a motion to reconsend then or resend this from the last meeting, then I guess, the manager just moves forward and we'll go from there. Member Mucci?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, I'm going to be supporting this ordinance. it's just like Member Stanton Greger says, it's just part of the negotiation that we've given Steve direction to. I'm sure there's going to be all kinds of new information coming up, and I don't think just because a new piece of information comes up, we need to bring it before the body and sort it out, at an assembly meeting. Eventually, Steve's going to bring back his findings and his ideas on what the negotiations and how it's going and what he's thinking, but as far as I'm concerned, the will of the assembly has been to move forward with this. And we'll just see how the negotiation plays out. We don't need to spend a lot of, we can spend a lot of time on this issue, but, if we're going to spend a lot of time on every meeting because a new piece of information comes up, it's not really, eventually we'll be talking about this stuff, but we're just in the preliminary process of negotiating with Petro, and I'm going to be voting to go forward with this process.
Member Norheim?
Obviously, our harbor master's not here anymore. Does anybody know how she feels about this new price tag?
I would have I can't speak for the harbor master, but I think she's in favor of the land swap.
Unfazed by the...
Yeah, so I can't speak for harbor master, like I said, so... So, is there any other discussion? Without a motion to rescind, we'll just vote on the proposed land trade moving forward. Member Stanton Greger.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor. This is a parliamentary question. I apologize. Is it even appropriate to vote on moving forward at this point? Since
the
we were...
Motion's been made.
Okay. It's been discussed. We have to vote.
Cool. Thank you for the clarification.
Okay. Clerk, call the roll.
Bob?
Yes.
Brandy?
No.
Taylor?
I'll go with yes for now. Yeah.
Kurt?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Mark?
No. Okay, so what was the vote on that for my notes?
5-2.
5-2? Okay, so we're going to keep moving forward with that negotiation. New business is the next item on the agenda, item 15. And the first item is ordinance 2018-21, an ordinance adjusting the fiscal year 2019 budget for known changes. Entertain a motion to approve ordinance 2018-21 in its first reading.
So moved.
Second.
Mm-hmm. Okay, just for the people listening, a motion been made by Member Mucci, seconded by Member Stanton Greger, and this ordinance is actually a supplemental budget. If adopted, ordinance 2018-21 in three readings will use $400,000 of sanitation funds and $200,000 of sanitation motor pool funds for the baler equipment replacement expense. So is there any other discussion? Member Morrell?
I just have a question. Jody, do you know how much would be left in the reserves? I just out of curiosity.
There would be about $200,000 left in the sanitation reserves.
After
the in a sanitation fund, if you were to expense $600,000, and there would be about $60,000 at the end of this fiscal year left in the motor pool fund for the sanitation department. There's actually over $4 million in the motor pool fund, but... only around $260,000 of it is sanitations.
Is that clear? Or do you have another?
Does that include for all sanitation equipment, but the loaders, everything like that?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Any other discussion, Member Lynn?
Yeah, I'm still back to my earlier question. If we go forward with this, then is the RFQ going to talk about looking at new technologies and other ways to do business.
And I'm still unclear on what you mean by that.
Well, if you're going to buy a piece of equipment, I don't go back and buy 1930s equipment. I want to look at what's out there on the market, what's been done, what other what other municipalities have done, and, you know, look at something that's going to last us for the next 30, 40 years. That's kind of where I'm at with it, and that's my question.
Yeah, well, and I did think I addressed that earlier, that we are going to be looking at making this, you know, obviously the most efficient and, you know, we'll say the most durable plant that we can get for the money. That's part of the discussion we're going to be having in the next few weeks. And, you know, as far as a 30 to 40 year lifespan, based on what I have learned from talking to other municipalities and observed, I don't know if that is a realistic lifespan for this type of plant. But, you know, that will come into the equation, too. We need to figure out, you know, what the duration is, what the expected service life is of the equipment. One of the things we're going to try and do moving forward, you know, that we'll be talking about in the budget process is I'm going to be proposing that we incorporate the baler into, you know, the motor pool replacement fund and forward fund it just like we do with our other pieces of equipment. Portion of the baler is already in the motor pool fund replacement program. That's the conveyor, essentially a conveyor belt. But we would like to make the entire baler, entire baling machine, you know, a part of that motor pool program and you know, so that at the end of whatever anticipated service life we come up with, 20, 25, 30 years, whatever it is, that at that point we have now funded the replacement of that equipment. Does that answer your question?
No, but I'll leave it rest for now.
All right.
Member Waller and then Member Mutu.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So, Chris, how many kind of going down the same vein that Bob's going down there? I'll try to make it clear. How many options do you have out there for people that provide balers?
There are, yeah, several. I don't know how many manufacturers. There's a bunch. You know, that the recycling industry alone has lots of different manufacturers.
Okay.
There are, oh, go ahead.
Oh, no. Just one more follow-up question. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And this is for Chris. So, Chris, I think I heard you earlier today say that when you write up your RFP, you're going to, you know, write it in such a form that you're telling these manufacturers what you have, what you need, and then they're going to then provide you with the proper equipment. So I think that might answer Bob's question, too. As long as you don't write a very specific RFP that says, I want this same stuff that we had already, say, what are my options? This is kind of our boundaries on price tag-ish, you know, so what do you have to offer? So I think you'll do a good job there. I think we've got some.
Yeah, right now we're just voting to approve the expenditure of the funds.
Right, that's why, yeah. So I'm going to vote for this.
Member Mucci.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, I'm going to be voting for this as well. And I agree with Member Lynn that we got to be looking in the future. We got to see what's out there. I don't want to buy a piece of equipment that met our needs 2 or 3 years ago. I want to make sure that we're looking out there 5 years ahead of time, seeing what the technology is, seeing how we can adapt it to meet our future needs, not to deal with the issues that we're dealing with right now. There might be a better piece of equipment out there, and during this RFP process, that's what I'm hoping that you do, is come up with some good alternatives for us to kind of start out. But I think your report earlier told us about what's going on up with the baler, and I think we need to do something, if not different, something that meets our current needs and the needs 5 years down the line. Thank you.
Any other discussion on this approval of the supplemental budget? I'm a little concerned with appropriating, I guess you could call it, $600,000, letting $600,000, you know, to go towards this project. I know we'll view it again when we come back with RFPs, but what, I don't know if this is where Member Lynn's going. Is there a better option for Petersburg than bailing? I mean, dollar-wise. I'm talking, you know, just dollars and cents for the ratepayers. I mean, even if you looked at a landfill again. I mean, can we get a landfill? Or that's just some of my concerns. So is there any other comments from other members that haven't spoke on this? Member Mucci?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Well, I think the city manager spoke earlier that they can't really move forward unless we get the funds moved so that we can kind of figure out what our budget is on something, on an item that we want to purchase up at the Baylor. I think this is the first step, as far as I understand it. This is the first step. Second step would be for the Public Works Director to come up with an RFP to meet our current and future needs. And then once he has a recommendation, then they'll go out to a bid process. And that's, am I misunderstanding that, or, Mr. Mayor?
Can you speak to that, Steve?
I can. Chris, jump in if I say any of this wrong. One of the things we'll do, if the Assembly approves this, is we'll develop an RFP. A big part of an RFP is it stands for Request for Proposals, meaning Chris will outline, this is what we do. We get this much tonnage of garbage. It's made up of this kind of material. We get this much recycling, and this is how we get it south to, you know, where it goes. What can you do for us? You know, we'll also include what we're currently doing, you know, meaning here's the type of equipment we've used, and this is our kind of our level of expertise. It's up to the people that we send that to respond back and say, hey, we've got a new latest, greatest baler, or you know what? Hey, have you ever thought of fill in the blank, doing it this way? This we're seeing more and more municipalities going this direction. We're not going to know that until they respond to the RFPs and say, hey, really for the volume of trash and recycling that you're using and dealing with, this is the most efficient way. These are people in that industry, and, you know, we're going to have to take, to a certain extent, what, you know, their expertise into play here. They may come back with the same old equipment we've got now with just a newer version, or they may come back with something totally different that we're not thinking of. We won't know that until they respond to the RFPs. Anyway, I hope, Chris, did I get close to that?
Yeah, that's definitely on track there. I was going to make, you know, just bring up for everyone listening also the fact that, you know, this ordinance adjusting the budget, this is just the first reading. We have to go through three readings. So nothing's finalized tonight. There's additional readings and time for additional questions and so forth to come forward. So,
thanks for your input. Member Wallholder.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Hey, Chris, do you have any idea what DEC or EPA think about open pit garbage dumps? You know, like what if, you know, I mean, it looks like we got a lot of hillside, you know, that we could push this over. Is that even an option?
Dollar-wise, no.
No. Well, I mean, what does EPA and DEC say about it? I mean, is it allowable?
It's allowable, you know? And it's very expensive. Mm-hmm. It was the primary reason, you know, the borough or the city at the time moved away from an open landfill, and it's only gotten more expensive since then. You're talking about, millions in development costs. For a new landfill, I'm not even sure we could reopen our existing landfill. One of the things, I think I covered this in an email to the manager, and I can't remember if the Assembly was in on that or not, but I did provide some information too on one of my previous reports to the Assembly, but the FAA had some major objections to our landfill because it attracted birds and created a nuisance for airliners flying in and out. And so since we closed up, accepting household garbage in our landfill, that hasn't been a problem. But I fully expect that would come back to the forefront if we tried to reopen our landfill. And even with the requirements of daily cover, then you get in, you know, that that costs a lot of money because they want you to cover up the garbage every day. You have to get that fill from somewhere. There's a cost associated with that. There's a lot of regulatory costs that come into play. You know, your operational costs are higher than, way higher than what it costs us to bale and ship garbage. When I talked to Lenny Neely, who is the Ketchikan Solid Waste Superintendent, you know, when I was down at Southeast Conference, I had a nice visit with him. He took me around their facilities, talked to me for several hours. He said he's run the numbers all out, and in his, by his calculations, it would have to cost you $250 a ton to ship waste before it would make sense to open a landfill for household garbage. I haven't verified those numbers, but I don't have any trouble believing them after just the preliminary costs of, you know, that I've looked into for reopening a landfill. That's just one option, you know, for disposing of waste, but it's, in my opinion, it's one that is very costly, and, you know, we can run that to ground if you want us to, but I can tell you right now where it's going to end up. So.
Okay, and like someone mentioned earlier, this is just the first reading of a ordinance. We have public hearing the next time in three readings, so if there's no other discussion, will the clerk call the roll?
Kurt?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Randy?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Ordinance 2018-21 passes unanimously. The next item, item A under new business, has been postponed until the first meeting in January. Were we also intending with that motion to of the public policy and community service grant application? Well, that's something different. Well, hang on a minute. No, it isn't. So we're going to address this one, this item B then, approval of the fiscal year 2020 budget policy and community service grant application, or was that intended to be put off till the first meeting in January as well?
Remember, I intended to.
Okay, so all these items, the items that pertain to the budget and capital projects list and policies were to be, that was part of the motion?
Yeah. No, I intended to leave the policy part.
Oh, and talk with this evening. Okay,
right.
Okay.
And so leave the projects to go.
Okay, so that's the next.
Okay, thanks.
That's the next item on the agenda. Thanks, Chris.
Got a birthday party to go.
Thanks, Chris.
That's the next item on the agenda is 18-388, approval of the fiscal year 2020 budget policy and community service grant application. I'd entertain a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
Motion been made by Member Stanton Gregor, seconded by Member Mucci. So, any discussion?
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I have two motions I'd like to make on this.
If two amendments?
And I'll start with the first one.
Okay, one at a time, yes, would be good.
Yes. Right. The first one I'd like to make is I'd like to see added to this is what I'm going to call a risk analysis or a risk assessment. And what I mean by that is I would like to see for the assembly to see, and I'll say a one-page, very simple outline of what both the manager and our finance director sees as what we, the revenues stream coming in for the general fund for the next 2-3 years. Their best estimate, you know, and I know in some cases it's just an absolute guess, but their best estimate of what our bottom line is going to be for revenue stream coming in versus what it is right for this fiscal year. And the reason I say that is because that would make a difference of how I would see us deal with the next fiscal year's budget. Because if we were going down 5 or 10%, that's one thing. If we were going down 1% or adding 1%, I would approach it in a different direction. And that would also help, I think, frame the discussion later on the budget from my perspective.
So as a motion, you would like to add that to this,
yes,
budget policy. Is there a second to that?
Sure.
Second been made, a motion been made by Member Lynn, seconded by Member Morrell to add this. How would you word it, Bob? How did you word it so the clerk can? Do you have it written, summarized there, gals, what it is?
What I wrote down was risk analysis / assessment.
Yes.
Okay. So that's an amendment to add to this. Any other discussion on that? Member Mucci?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. So, Bob, is this something that you're hoping to have done in the next several months?
Yes, I would hope we have it done for our discussions on the budget coming up. I'm not looking for something that's, you know, elaborate. I'm looking for just a one-page basic assessment of what our revenue stream is going to be, and both the managers and the finance directors' best guess of what the whether we're going to get it or not, the risk associated with high, low, medium, however they want to do it.
Mr. Mayor.
Can you interject?
I could have something like this done by the next assembly meeting.
Great.
Yeah, thank you for that. With that being said, we're going to vote on the amendment that Mr. Lynn proposed to add this risk assessment in the budget policy, correct?
Yes.
Clerk, call the roll.
Taylor?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Brandy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
And Mr. Lynn, you had another amendment?
I do have a second one. The second one, motion I would like to make is to add for each of the enterprise funds what I'll call a five-year infrastructure plan of renewal, replacement, what we need to do to keep our infrastructure and all our enterprise funds, up to a level of standard. I know we have it. I've seen it now for a couple of the areas, but I think it needs to be upgraded. And it would make a difference to me, and I'll leave it at that and see if I can get a second on it, and then we'll go from there.
Okay, so can you summarize the motion? It's just to get a fiscal plan from the enterprise funds? For
each enterprise fund,
for
yes.
For 5 years?
For a five-year. It could be longer, but essentially listing all the projects that staff and folks see that we need to keep our infrastructure in some priority order.
I'll second that standard.
Okay, second by Member Mucci, and that could probably go right in line with the capital project request.
Yes.
In a sense, I would imagine. So, Finance Director.
Now, I'd just like to say I'm going to need the enterprise funds department heads' help with this, so I can't guarantee it's going to be done by the next meeting. What I envision is perhaps creating a template for them to fill out, so every enterprise fund has a standard template, so you're not looking at different things depending on each enterprise fund, and then giving it to them to fill out for the next 5 years. Record.
Okay, so this is another amendment we're voting on to come up with a fiscal plan, basically, for the enterprise funds for 5 years. Do you have a comment?
May I, Mr. Mayor? Just as an example, we'll use Power and Light. We're in the middle of that analysis right now, and it's going to be at least a couple months before that's completed. My guess is we'd find similar information from all of the enterprise funds that it'll take. You know, it's not going to be something by the next weekend, I guess, or next meeting is my point. So I don't want to give false information. That will take some time. That's a different animal than the first request.
Yes.
Cool. Any other discussion on this second amendment? Clerk, call the roll.
Jeff?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Brandy?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Taylor?
Yes.
Okay, and then there's actually that would be probably just on the budget policy, correct, Member Lynn, that you were talking about? So there's two other items that we have to, we'll be voting on as well. One of them is the manager's addendum to the budget policy. And in that, there are reductions of, are not filling a police officer's position that's vacant now, and direction to the manager, if I'm reading this right, on department head merit increases, single payment or percentage of increase or nothing. So this is just a recommendation. I'm asking the manager this. If we vote for all this and approve it, are these things you plan on implementing, fulfilling or adding a EMT-3 full-time employee and that was part of this budget discussion items, but
if I may,
yeah.
there's the budget policy document that outlines how the department heads will pull their budget together. This goes out, and this basically says it sets our fund policies, meaning how much money they should have in the bank, you know, how we will use property development fund money, how we'll use, you know, how we'll fund the school. All of those things are part of that budget policy document. So we kind of need that to be able to tell department heads, here's how you pull your budget together. Here's what the rules are. We've given you, you know, this is the document that is very similar to ones you've seen in prior years. It doesn't have to be this way, meaning the assembly could come in and say something totally different and give us instruction so we know how to go put the budget together. What I did on the addendum is talk about things that, in some cases, I have already had conversations with department heads about implementing these things. And I really do need direction from the assembly. Are these things that you want us to pursue on? I mean, you can deal with them during the budget process, clearly, and on each and every one of them, we'll make it very clear, is this in the budget you see or not? But, you know, using the reduction of operating hours for the library and Parks and Rec, I've already told those department heads, until told otherwise, to plan for that. I've already told Chief Kerr to plan for not filling that sergeant position. These are big decisions that impact quality of life as well as, you know, operations. And the assembly deserves the right to be able to weigh in and say yes or no. So, how, you know, how you want to go about that, I can put them into the budget, and then you, when we get to that phase of the game, you take it back out or change it. We can talk about it tonight and go one by one through them. I'm leaving that up to the assembly on what you feel is the best or you're the most comfortable with dealing with.
Okay, but one point or another, you'd like the assembly, just like you said, to address all of these potential changes.
I would.
Okay, all right. Just for clarification, Member Stanton Gregor and then Member Mucci.
I'll pass for now.
Okay. Member Mucci.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. You know, me personally, I'd like to see a budget put together with these recommendations on there just so that we can see what those departments look like with these changes that are suggested. That's why I've said the last couple of weeks or months that I'd like to see the discussion happen in January, February, and March. I mean, there's a real need for some of these, an EMT position or a firefighter position up at the fire hall. You know, just the conversation about reducing hours of the baler or, you know, I think the increase in the ambulance rates needs to happen. I mean, it's way below what it should be. I think we need to talk about the department head merit increases. I mean, I think we need to discuss what's going to happen if we eliminate the police sergeant or we don't hire the police sergeant's position at the police department. What's that going to mean to the police department? And what's that going to mean to the police department's budget? And also the discussion about increasing the property tax rate to help cover the decline in revenues and increase costs. I mean, these are all things that I think, and we've heard from the community about they want to reduce things in the community, and I think this is a good place to start. If we get a number from department heads that say, we can't do that. It's going to diminish the service that we provide to the community. That's going to help me make a decision at the end if it's a worthwhile reduction or addition. So, yeah, I'd like to see a start somewhere.
Member Stanton Gregor?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So, question for either the clerk or the manager. So these potential budget discussion items, if I vote yes, what does that mean in regards to the, simply put, the budget discussion items? It's late in the evening, so I want to make sure my head's on straight.
Okay, I'll try.
As concisely as possible to keep my brain on track.
I know. The budget policy document itself should be a separate vote from these
Absolutely.
Items. Okay, so we'll get that on the table.
Yep.
These items here, yes, if you voted to tell Steve to make sure these all items are in the budget, then I'll move forward with that. I'll have individual costs for each of these. We'll build those into the budgets, and then you'll see it when you get to the budget process that, you know, we've included these items.
So it'd be seen as a vote telling you do these things?
Mm-hmm. Correct. The other option is for the assembly to do a work session or a special meeting and delve into this stuff later, too.
I mean, that is my question, because there's some pretty serious things in there in terms of quality of life. I would much rather allocate specific time for those as to picking these apart right now. I mean, from reduction of hours to increases in property taxes, those are all things that impact our quality of life, and I think, in my humble opinion, merit specific treatment. So, I'd rather not touch those.
Right. Member Lynn, so then we would need, that's why I asked when we started down this road if we were going to address all this, because in my mind, this is a big change. Sorry, Member Lynn.
I agree with Member Stanton Greger. Is that there needs to be a separate meeting, because I would not agree to all those items up front. I'd like to know what the costs and the implications are.
So I would imagine we could I'd entertain a motion to table this manager's addendum to the budget policy PDF until we could pick a time certain, or just table it. And that's just a thought, just so we could discuss it at a different time. I'm sorry, Member.
No, Spencer. You're all good.
Member Morrell.
Do we have to separate them out now, because we have a motion on the table to separate out the budget policy from this and then make a motion to have a work session? Or that's for Debbie. What are we doing?
I am of a sense that we could make a motion to table the manager's addendum part of this out of our main motion to a time certain.
Yes, and let's just postpone rather than table.
Postpone table, yes, that's right, correct. Yes. Member Steingrager.
Then I would move to postpone the manager's addendum to budget policy to a date to be yet to be determined.
Second that.
Okay. Motion's been made by Member Stanton Greger, as we've all heard, and seconded by Member Morrell to move the manager's addendum to the budget policy to a time to be determined. So we'll vote on that amendment to this discussion to the motion we made now. Well, Member Mucci?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Discussion on this, I guess, is where we're at.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So if we pass this, then is the intent then to have the city clerk send us a note finding when we are available in the next month or two so that we can have a work session?
Well, we can bring it up at the next meeting. This is just my thought. Without knowing what's going to be on the agenda for the next two meetings, the first and second meeting in January, I would hope we'd have time to bring this up separately then to either add it to the budget policy or
I'm comfortable with that.
Or modify it. I mean, that's just my thought. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. Thank you. Dimitri?
Does that sound logical to the rest of the assembly?
It sounds reasonable, Mr. Mayor.
So now we're voting on amendment to remove the manager's addendum to the budget policy to be addressed at a time to be determined, which I would hope will be
the next meeting.
Yeah, that would be nice if it's not like this. So anyway, clerk call a roll on that amendment to this.
Okay, Taylor?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Randy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Okay, so we will discuss the manager's addendum proposals at a future time. That brings us to the one other part of this, and that's just the community grant application, which is a community service grant application, which is pretty generic.
Mr. Mayor?
That hasn't changed much, has it, Jody?
No, I don't believe I changed that at all. I did it months ago.
Okay, yeah. Member Mucci?
You know, I don't want to go back, but I'm just trying to sort out on this budget addendum thing. Would it be helpful to the assembly if we had some numbers put together to talk about this addendum so that when we do have a work session, we're not giving the manager direction to then get them, so that the next time we have a meeting, we would have these numbers in front of us so we could kind of have an informed conversation about what we're up to?
It looks like some of them could have a firm number on them, but that's for the manager to answer.
How about for each of these items that are on the list, and by the way, these are taken, not just mine, they're from other people that have submitted stuff, and do, what's the fiscal impact on each and every one of these, and with some recommend, things, the compensatory time for the fire EMS director. I mean, there's not a number there. I mean, I can come up with a number, throw that in there, and it gives the assembly a starting point for the discussion. I can do that on each of these. It at least gives you more information than you have today. I mean, does that work for everybody?
Okay. At least it's a starting point.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Manager.
So thanks for that input, Member Mucci. So now we will be voting on the two items, the fiscal year 2020 budget policy PDF and the approval of the community service grant application form. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, clerk, call the roll.
Jeff?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Brandy?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Taylor?
Yes.
Okay, that passes unanimously, and we will address the manager's input on the hopefully the first meeting in January. Next item on the agenda, C, 18-409, support for PIA's Community Development Block Grant Program application. I'd entertain a motion to approve this.
So moved. Second.
Everybody was trying to get this done. Motion been made by Member Mucci and seconded by Member Stanton Gregor. Or was it Member Wallhuter that made the motion? Somebody did.
Somebody.
Discussion. Clerk, call the roll.
Bob?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Randy?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Taylor?
Yes.
Okay, next item on the agenda is 18-409, support for PIA's Community Development Block Grant Program application. I'd entertain a motion to approve this.
We just did that one, Mr. Mayor.
Oh, is that the one I just did? Let's
yes,
do
sir.
It again.
It's all good. Retired.
Okay, that's been a long meeting. Okay, next one, D, 18-410. Proposal to add the borough clerk's email address to the assembly group email. I'd entertain a motion to approve this.
So moved.
Second.
Motion's been made by Member Mucci, seconded by Member Stanton Gregor. Member Mucci, I believe, asked to have this on the agenda, so we will let him speak to this first.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, just over the last couple months, we've had emails. We've had emails sent to the assembly that don't get to the city clerk, and the city clerk is kind of the central point for getting information out to us. And sometimes if she doesn't get it, we might not all get it. And I want to make sure that it goes through the city clerk to us so that she's not in the dark when it comes time to talking about letters that we've received from this person or that. So I think it's just a good way to make sure we're all getting the same piece of information, and Debbie should be involved in getting the information to us. Thank you.
Member Stanton Gregor, then Member Norheim.
And just as a clarifier for that, if a member of the community emails me, Kurt, or any one of us individually, that is not the case. It's only been, you know, for the entire assembly, things are vetted through or run through, you're included in those. Is this correct?
Correct. If this is approved, it would only be the assembly group email mm-hmm. that would include my email. So if any community member wanted to email Member Stanton Gregor directly, and they only could. Member Stanton Gregor, I would not see it.
Yep, there you okay. go. Thank you.
Member Norheim?
And then also, so for responding to things, because we don't want to respond all, I unselect the assembly, so I don't send it to everybody because I see that note on most emails. You would still receive my email if I unselected. So no, I could no longer unselect the assembly if we did this.
Correct. Only if you put me on as a copy to receive the reply.
Okay.
If you just reply directly to the person that sent it to you, that I would not see that.
Okay.
Any other comments, Member Lynn? I think it's a good idea. I have one concern that if someone from the public sends something to the assembly, do they intend for it to be CC'd to the clerk? I guess this is a policy this would set, that it wouldn't be CC'd. Because they have the opportunity to CC the clerk in addition to the assembly if they wanted to keep the information separate from the administration, from the legislative body. Just maybe I'm thinking of bigger apples and oranges. But anyway, Member Morrell.
Can we just put that on the website or wherever you're going to get that? I mean, that's usually where it's at, right? That the borough clerk would be included in that? Just so that
it could be stated if you...
Right, so that no one... There wouldn't be that confusion.
Mm-hmm. Or we could also put a note that if you'd like the administration offices to know about your email, copy the borough clerk.
I mean, I don't, yeah, I'll probably vote for this, but that's the only apprehension I have about it. So. Any other discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Mark?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Brandy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Taylor?
Yes.
Okay, next item on the agenda, unless I backtrack again, is item E, Alaska Airlines Essential Air Service Letter of Support excuse me, I'd entertain a motion to send this letter of support.
So moved.
Second. Okay, motion's been made by Member Morrell, seconded by somebody down here, Member Norheim.
Daly.
Discussion. Clerk, call the roll.
Jeff?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Taylor?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Brandy?
Yes.
Okay, so we'll send that letter again. Next item, F, 18-418. Excuse me. Group sign-on letter to Governor Dunleavy regarding the Tolskwa Chief Mine in the Taku River. Entertain a motion to approve this letter.
So moved.
Second.
Motion been made by Member Walhuter, seconded by Member Meachie. Discussion. Yeah, Member Stanton Greger.
Thank you, Mr. Lynch, for bringing this forward. I'll definitely be voting for this.
Yeah, and it was during the discussion, you weren't here at the time, that we asked about why the Unic and the Keene River weren't included. This is a separate issue. Yep. This is basically about this mine. So, any other discussion? Seeing none, clerk, call the roll.
Brandy?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Taylor?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Okay, we will send that letter. And thank you, Member Ward. Communications. Communications, I just put this on there. U.S. Forest Service leadership change for the Alaska region. I don't know if everybody's read it, but basically it's announced David Schmidt is the deputy regional forest in the National Northern Region, has been selected to serve the regional forest of the Alaska region. And also they go on to talk about Dave Zimmerman's moving to Juneau. I believe he was the district ranger here. I believe there's a stand-in for his position, and they plan on filling that and keeping that position here, is what I understand. So I just that's on the website if anybody wants to read the letter in full. But I just thought I'd put that out there. Any other communications? Okay. Assembly discussion items. We one recognition I'd like to make is just want to thank the volunteer fire departments and EMS and the junior firefighters. I went to the Christmas party Sunday. I'd had to sit at the table and sitting there by myself and over my friend and myself. And then all of a sudden, all the kids came in from the junior firefighters. And that was probably the most enjoyable table in the party to sit at, because it was nice to see the enthusiasm from some of those young people. So I appreciate the fire department doing this. Is there any other recognitions? Member Stanton Greger's got his hand up.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to recognize PIA for their community development block grant program that they're putting in. The applications approved, PIA will provide for the rehabilitation of at least 15 homes for low-income households in Petersburg and will prioritize the most vulnerable members of the community, elders and small children. So thank you, PIA, for looking out for the most vulnerable. Much appreciated.
Okay, thank you. Any other recognitions? Member Meachie.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to publicly thank Roxy Lee and a group of supporters that are trying to purchase that bench that was part of the decolonization of Alaska. They still need about $10,000, and the donations can be made to the Clausen Museum. It's a pretty spectacular bench, and the idea being that once they purchase it, it would be out in the lobby here for the public to take a look at, but it's sit on. It's pretty spectacular. So I just wanted to say thanks a lot for her efforts. It's pretty cool.
Okay. Any other assembly members or staff have recognitions? Okay. That brings us to item B under assembly discussion items. Member Norheim wanted to touch on this topic, seasonal sales tax.
Yeah, it was something I picked up at AML that apparently a lot of communities have a seasonal sales tax where it's higher in the summer, lower in the winter. That way you get a little boost in revenue for the city, or the borough, sorry, for the transients coming through, tourists, lodge people, cannery workers. And that way you could get, you know, our revenue can go up without affecting the locals so much because, yes, it's higher in the summer, but it's also going to be lower than normal in the winter. So it'll just be a wash for us. I don't know. That is something I was thinking about. I thought people should know. And apparently it's a fairly common thing. And I'd never heard of that before. I just assumed that it was always straight across.
Well, that's the way it has been now. I don't, lower in the wintertime, I mean.
Yeah, so I believe right now it's at 6%. So
right.
It would, I believe the state maximum allowed limit was 7.5, I read. So if we raised it to 7.5 in the summertime And then you drop it down to, I don't know, 5 or 4.5 or something like that, you know, something that makes it balance out so it doesn't affect us any. Just something to think about.
Sounds like a pretty reasonable thought, but I don't know how you would balance it out to even to put the same amount of sales tax over the per year.
Generally, you know, obviously you spend more money in certain areas in the summertime than you do in the wintertime, but.
Okay, well, is that all? Any other input, Member Mucci?
No, I think it's, you know, it's an idea worth exploring. Yeah. I did some checking on it a little bit today. Certainly we can do it. It'd have to go for a vote of the public, and the proceeds can be designated to certain funds. So if it's something that you wanted to pursue, we would just have to come up with some wording on the months that you'd like to see it in place where it's higher and the months that it would come down to be lower. And then I would go to a vote of the public to see what they thought. But, yeah, I think it's something worth looking into.
Can we designate sales tax for specific uses?
Some communities do.
I guess, okay.
I would just like to note that currently our sales tax software cannot do what you want it to do. I'm hoping in the next year it will be able to. It could if, in a perfect world, everyone filed their sales tax at exactly the same time on time, but they don't. And so to have two different rates in the system would not work out currently, but I'm hoping that will change soon.
Yeah, just wanted your input since you're the one that would be dealing with it. Member Wallhuter?
I just want to make a quick comment. Jody, didn't we designate 1 cent for the pool at one time? We're talking probably 50 years ago. And then that never went away.
That was, I'd have to check on that for you.
Yeah, well, I know that. That's what they did, is they raised this city sales tax 1 cent to pay for the old pool, not the new pool, but the old pool at one time. So, and then that never went away. So anyway, so I know you can designate it, or at least you could have back then.
What's that called when you, there's a term for it, so. Okay, and we decided to take the next item off the agenda, the designated assembly seats for election purposes. And so that brings us to item D, discussion joint work session to discuss economic development. Member Mucci?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, I put this on the agenda just because it'd be nice to have a work session sometime in early February to talk about economic development in Petersburg and who is supposed to be doing what. We have kind of three entities. We have the Assembly, the PEDC Board, and the Chamber of Commerce. And to me, there's some confusion about who is actually out there looking for economic development in Petersburg. And I was hoping to have this work session in February just to get these three groups together and members of the public to kind of look at who's doing what and how they're doing it, and if there's not enough being done, how do we make more happen so that we make sure we have the infrastructure in place in case new businesses want to come to Petersburg. So that's why I have that on there. And hoping to have a work session in February sometime.
Okay. So did you mean, Member Mutri, just for my own clarification, sure. Chamber, PDC, and the borough?
Yes.
Not necessarily the assembly, but the borough administration?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. The assembly should be involved as well because I think differences of opinion about stuff.
We'll be making the decisions,
Yep, thank you.
Okay, next item on the agenda was discussion items was public meeting decorum, and I know the clerk gave us all a copy of Robert's Rules of Order pertaining to this. So I think without getting into too much discussion, if we just looked through this and read it and digested what it said, I don't think we'd have to go into any discussion unless somebody wants to expand on what I just said. And we could always bring it up at a future date. So that brings us to the best part of the meeting.
So move.
Entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Merry Christmas.
All those in favor,
Merry Christmas, yes. All right. Merry Christmas to all.